Good evening, everyone. I'm Lina Ahmoudou. Welcome to Health Chat. Neglected tropical diseases, or NTDs, they are a group of diverse tropical infections which are especially common in low-income populations in developing regions of Africa, Asia, and the Americas. They affect nearly 1.5 billion of the poorest and most marginalized people around the world. Some, like trachoma, blind their victims. Others, like lymphatic filariasis, commonly known as elephantiasis, cause disfigurement and enormous swelling of different body parts. This week marks the fifth anniversary of the London Declaration, when partners committed to help eliminate NTDs by 2020. We will take a look at this disease of neglected tropical diseases. We'll take a look at them and talk about the partnership and everything else that is being done around NTDs. Joining us via phone from Seattle, Washington, is Dr. Julie Jacobson, counselor with the American Society of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene. Dr. Jacobson, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
It's great to have you with us, and we will talk to Dr. Jacobson in a moment. But first, let me remind our listeners, if you want to participate in the program, you can email us at healthchat@voanews.com, healthchat@voanews.com, or send me a Twitter at Linor Moudou. So we will talk to Dr. Jacobson in a moment, again, as I said earlier. But first, Jessica Berman has this report.
Seven diseases, mostly caused by parasites, are responsible for 80% of the global burden of illness, according to the U.S. Agency for International Development. The diseases stunt growth and affect brain development in children and cause severe illness that can last for years in adults and children alike. By 2020, the United States Agency for International Development, also called USAID, predicts that two of them, lymphatic filariasis, also known as elephantiasis, and the blinding disease trachoma, could be completely eradicated thanks to massive combined efforts of donor countries, the public and private sector, and pharmaceutical companies. Emily Wainwright is chief of the Division for Neglected Tropical Diseases at the USAID.
In the area that USAID is supported, there are going to be 400 million people who never have to worry about getting lymphatic filariasis again. We'll have addressed that problem. And there'll be about 184 million people who no longer going to have to worry about getting trachoma, the leading cause of preventable blindness.
The U.S. and Great Britain are the largest donor countries and say a cash infusion of $100 million will lead to the distribution of $6 billion in donated drugs in the countries where the burden is highest. Funding between 2006 and now has delivered 1.6 billion treatments to people suffering from parasitic illnesses. The five most common NTDs that have been targeted are all parasitic illnesses, including lymphatic filariasis, trachoma, onchocerciasis, schistosomiasis, and soil helminths. Ariel Pablos Mendez, Assistant Administrator for the Global Health at the USAID, is optimistic that most of these worm diseases will be eradicated before the middle of the century.
Just like in polio, which are spasm of the disease to disappear from the face of the earth, or leprosy, which is down 95% from the levels we used to have 50 years ago. These diseases are, we're in a position right now, if continued with our efforts, to end all of the diseases of extreme poverty by 2030.
The World Health Organization has put a priority on the elimination of 17 NTDs in 149 countries where one in six people suffer from at least one illness. Jessica Berman, VOA News, Washington.
And again, Dr. Jacobson, thank you so much for joining us. Before we start our conversation, let me have your reaction on the report you just heard. Jessica Berman, VOA's reporter, talked about the fact that lymphatic filariasis and trachoma could be eradicated in the near future. At least that's the goal. What is your feedback on that?
I think that it's very true, and I think that it's an uncommon thing in our world right now to have achievable global health targets that really look like they're in reach. And I think that the exciting thing about both of these diseases is that there's an incredible partnership that's around them that links together both countries, the World Health Organization, donors, NGOs, and the pharmaceutical companies all coming together to try and address these diseases. And it looks like these are attainable goals. Several countries actually have been validated as having achieved national level elimination, which gives us this proof of concept that it really can happen at scale and can be done. So I think it's a very exciting time to be working in this area.
Very exciting time. That's good to hear. But when we look at what is happening in the field, on the ground, and so many people are being affected, it seems like there are still populations that are very much vulnerable to these neglected tropical diseases. Why are they neglected, first and foremost?
Well, it's a really good question, and I think the pivotal piece to this is that people living in low-resource settings live in situations where these pathogens flourish. So where you have inadequate water supply, where you have inadequate sanitation and a lack of these things within your life and within easy reach, these parasites thrive. And several of them also are transmitted by vectors, which means a mosquito or a black fly. And so in these environments where people are lived and regularly exposed to these things, this transmission continues to be ongoing.
So then, what is the prospect in terms of being able to contain most of them? I mean, there are more than 15 of entities, and where by the year 2020, we talked about lymphatic filariasis and trachoma. What about the other diseases?
Well, there's progress being made in many areas, and I think, you know, recent progress in the scale-up of treatment for schistosomiasis is showing promise. I think also with the intestinal worms, we have a significant scale-up of treatment and reaching of particularly preschool and school-age children, which has been very impressive over the past couple of years. We may not be at the threshold of elimination of those diseases, but of really trying to reach a global level of control, which will take away the morbidity or the negative health effects that come from those diseases and allow these populations to move out of a chronic poverty cycle where they continuously are re-exposed to these parasites, which then take away their ability to live a productive life and to be successful in school or work, and get rid of that negative effect so that people can then live a more productive life and a healthier life.
When we look at sub-Saharan Africa, what are some of the diseases that are more common?
Well, actually, these neglected tropical diseases are some of the most common infections on the planet. One in seven people are affected, and most of those people live in poverty. And when you look at people who live on less than $1.25 a day, they're subject to infection with up to seven of these parasites at the same time, and many of them have more than one parasite at a time. So when we talk about the common infections, even though they're not well understood or known in the Western world, these are some of the most common infections on the planet.
Okay, on the planet. And when we look at the sub-Saharan Africa region, are there some specific areas where we see more of those diseases versus others?
Well, it's interesting because each one of these parasitic infections is linked into the ecosystem. So, for example, one of the diseases that was discussed in the report was onchocerciasis, which is also called river blindness. Mm-hmm. So the black flies that transmit river blindness actually breed in fast-flowing rivers. So they're ecologically linked to that part of the geography of a country. So it may be that it's pervasive throughout Central Africa, but it is linked into the riverine system. So you see a focality in these diseases that is interesting in the way that they are spread. But sticking with onchocerciasis, one of the interesting things about that is because it grows, it's along rivers, that's also where people plant their crops and grow things. And so it's associated with some of the most productive lands. So from an economic and a hardship piece, people have left lands that they were able to actually produce food for their families and for their communities because of the fear of becoming blind because of onchocerciasis. So this, these diseases are extremely important from a development standpoint in addition to a health and a basic human rights standpoint.
You know, it's interesting because some of these sicknesses, I thought they did not even exist anymore. yes, and, yeah. And we see that in the 21st century, we still have some of these diseases that are still affecting population. It's really heart-wrenching, really, to think about it. When we think about leprosy, is it considered a neglected tropical disease?
It is. It is also in the same family. Obviously, its transmission is quite different and its treatment is quite different from some of these others that we've been discussing. But it is an infection that is of marginalized populations in general and has not. It's one of the diseases that people think is gone. And mm-hmm. the attention and the energy that goes into caring for the infected individuals, you know, there sometimes aren't enough resources to be able to do that. And I think leprosy is one of them that we can easily recognize from its references in biblical stories, that this is a historic disease that we should be able to overcome. And it's very treatable now. So I think that the big piece is removing stigma, ensuring that there's adequate resources to identify cases and then to treat them appropriately. And again, this is an area where the pharmaceutical companies, in this case Novartis, has made drugs available to people who need them for treatment.
But when we look at the fact that they are not diseases that are really at the front in the news or even when we talk about development and agenda and everything, do you think that there is a neglect from the international community to address these issues? Even with the pharmaceutical companies, are there even a disease that can make profit to these companies?
Well, Lindsay, you bring up a very important point, and I think that was the whole drive behind the London Declaration and the partnership around uniting to combat NTDs, is that when we look at these, when we're talking about 1.5 billion people on the planet, it sounds so overwhelming and like a terrifying problem. But then when we started to talk to partners that could make a difference in this area, what we recognized is that each person could do something to be a part of the solution. And so it really comes into partnership. No single partner can make this happen. But if we work with endemic communities, if the pharmaceutical companies do what they can do, if WHO is providing the guidance, and if we have resources to reach those, suddenly we have something that can work. And that was really the drive behind this, because this area with very solvable problems with the resources and the technologies that we have available today were not being solved. And so 5 years ago, a set of partners came together and said, we're going to work together to try and actually take care of this. And it's been a very interesting dynamic partnership since that time, making a lot of pretty amazing progress. And again, it's one of the things that most of the world doesn't even know it's happening. And mm-hmm. I think it's really important for us to understand that there are some success stories out there, and that part of that success is that we rely on others to carry the ball part of the way, and we can carry it the rest.
Interesting. And we mentioned the London Declaration. Can you enlighten us briefly about the declaration? What are some of the different parties that were involved, the partners, and also the 2020 goal, how realistic is it? How, in terms of achieving it, where do we stand?
Well, so when this first came about, the big piece was kind of shifting the lens to, well, pharmaceutical companies, some were donating some drugs in different places, and there were NGOs, nonprofit partners that were helping some communities in some areas. But none of it was really brought together with everybody talking together and seeing how we could really make this work to achieve goals. So the galvanizing piece that came together with this was the WHO putting out a roadmap for for achieving elimination and control of these NTDs by 2020. And so the partners came together and said, we will work together, do what we can, our part, to achieve those control and elimination goals by 2020 and beyond. Now, at that time, we had partial information on where the diseases were and all of these other pieces, how good our treatments were, what additional tools we might need, how good our diagnostics were. And we've learned a lot in the last 5 years. And so what I would say is that we've made incredible progress. You know, we have the number of people who require treatment from these neglected diseases has decreased. And, for example, in lymphatic filariasis, 1.4 billion people needed to be treated in 2011, and now it's down to under a billion. So that's a huge amount of progress, but there's still a lot that needs to be done. So will we achieve all of these 2020 goals? Certainly not. But will we have made incredible progress on the way to them? Absolutely. And I think that the big piece would be being attracted to achieving a goal instead of just doing one piece. And I think that's the piece that's bringing the partners together in a special way to say, we want to make a difference and to actually achieve something that is measurable and achievable.
Okay, great. Dr. Jacobson, we will continue our conversation. We have to take a short break for the news, and we also have a questions from the audience that we will toss to you when we come back from the break. So it's now time for the news with Hedy Fitzpatrick.
Thank you very much, Lenore. A very good evening to you. Let's take a look at the latest health news. There is new concern over drug-resistant forms of malaria this evening. This comes after malaria treatment failed for the first time in patients in the UK. The four patients had something in common. They had all visited Africa. Doctors at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine say these could be early signs the parasite is evolving resistance. They are now asking for an urgent assessment of drug resistance levels in Africa. They say it is too early to panic, but they do warn things could suddenly get worse. Malaria parasites are spread by bites from infected mosquitoes. It is one of the leading killers of children under five, most of whom live in sub-Saharan Africa. People who speak two or more languages are better able to weather damage from Alzheimer's. A new Italian study shows bilingual people performed better in short and long-term memory tests than those who have mastered only one language. Scientists at the Vita Salute San Raffaele University in Milan say, however, scans do show more severe deterioration in brain metabolism amongst bilingual people. The ability to speak two languages appears to make the brain more resilient. Researchers found the more often a person swaps between languages during their lifetime, the more capable their brains become of switching to alternate pathways that maintain thinking skills. That's even as Alzheimer's damage accumulates. Previous studies have shown that lifelong bilingualism can delay dementia by as much as 5 years. And finally, did you get enough sleep last night? Well, if you didn't, you'd be interested to know that a lack of sleep can make you sick. A new study by researchers at the University of Washington shows sleep deprivation depresses the body's immune system. Researchers studied 11 pairs of identical twins with differing sleep patterns. They found the twin who slept less had a depressed immune system. The study, published in the journal Sleep, showed for the first time that chronic short sleep shuts down programs involved in immune response of circulating white blood cells. So if you like being healthy, get more shut-eye. Doctors say 7 or more hours of sleep is optimal. I'm Hedy Adams-Fitzpatrick. That is your latest health news. Don't go to bed just yet. Here's Lenore with more of our discussion.
Thank you, Hedy. That's great. And welcome back if you're just joining us. We are discussing neglected tropical diseases. And our guest who's joining us from Seattle, Washington, is Dr. Julie Jacobson, counselor with the American Society of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene. So, Dr. Jacobson, I have this question from a listener in Ghana. He says, how can people protect themselves from neglected tropical diseases? And that is Paul in Ghana. Although this is maybe a bit broad because there are so many different diseases. So maybe if you want to narrow down to a couple of specifics, that's fine too.
Well, I think the big thing is, and when we're talking about the NTDs, we're really trying to work at the population level too. I think the main thing with there are five of these diseases: onchocerciasis, river blindness, lymphatic filariasis, elephantiasis, trachoma, schistosomiasis, or bilharzia, and the soil transmitted helminths. All of these can be treated at once a year with the preventative chemotherapy that's given at the community level. And so that's a key part for getting that out to affected communities and being sure that you take and get rid of those levels of parasite. And ultimately, within several of those diseases, we will actually eliminate transmission and remove it from the community and being a threat any further to the community ever. So that's one key piece. But I mean, I think the basic underlying tenets of this are improving water and sanitation and good vector control, which I would say in a broad stroke across the NTDs is important for protecting at the individual level.
Interesting. Because when we hear about NTDs being diseases of poverty, so across the line, we know that clean water is a very important aspect of living healthy. So then when you talk about, you know, improving water and sanitation, it's very important.
Absolutely. And targeting it in those communities where you have the NTDs, you know that you can have, in addition to the basic human rights element of this, also a significant health benefit as well. And so linking those things together of the preventative chemotherapy with water and sanitation, you suddenly have a package that gives you a very sustainable impact.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, are there any new developments in terms of prevention?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. Actually, there is some very exciting news coming around. So in early studies, we have been working on in the lymphatic filariasis, looking at, and some researchers from University of Washington or Washington University in St. Louis and in Case Western Reserve, have been working on taking our existing drugs and looking at them in different combinations to see if we can have a longer-term effect on the parasite. So the current therapies, you give two drugs, but you have to treat every year for 5 to 7 years because it doesn't kill the adult worm. It just kills the larval stage. But what we found is by combining three drugs at the same time, it looks like we can kill or permanently sterilize the adult worms, which means that we wouldn't have to continue programs for 5 to 7 to 9 years. We may be able to do it in 2 to 3 years, which would be a huge benefit to the communities themselves. We're extremely excited about this having a potential impact. And again, we're talking that this could reach, you know, almost 1 billion people. So the extent of the health benefit to this is huge because the disability that comes from lymphatic filariasis is quite profound and the impact on the individual is very big for their life, their livelihood, their ability to get married, their ability to go to school, their ability to work and be productive and live a satisfying life.
Okay. Now, a question from Nigeria. We do not hear a lot about neglected tropical diseases. How can our leaders be more interested to raise awareness and help the population that are suffering? So how do we raise the interest of leaders to focus more on NTDs?
It's a really important question, and I actually I look for more input into getting the answer to that myself, you know, because these people that are affected by these diseases usually are not the people that are online and LinkedIn and have access to talking to their political leaders and having their voices heard. So part of that comes into, as we become aware of these pieces, speaking out on behalf of those individuals that are affected, and also recognizing that there's a huge return on this investment. With the pharmaceutical products for many of these being donated, the big piece is just getting them out there to communities. And when we do that, the economic return to those communities is very high. And so one of the things is trying to, first off, let people know and be aware, because there's a huge amount of suffering that happens from this, whether we're talking about blindness from trachoma, where the eyelashes slowly turn inward and then just rub on the cornea of the eye until a person goes blind. Incredibly painful. And there's a piece of, if people understood that and that is easily preventable with treatment and could be reversed and nobody has to go blind anymore of that, I think it's a very compelling. But I think there's also the economic argument. And then the other piece is that, you know, working together in this partnership, we can achieve some global health goals that previously were never attainable before. So there's information at Uniting to Combat NTDs. at the website about sharing information and getting some of those things out by tweet and by other social media pieces. And so I encourage you to be active in trying to help these populations that don't have the voice.
Okay. Now, question from Kenya. Are any of these diseases can any of these diseases be transmitted from a pregnant mother to the unborn baby?
Really good question. So in actuality, most of these diseases are not transmitted person to person. The exception, one of the exceptions to this is trachoma, which is from, you can get it from touching eye secretions into between mother and child, but it's not transmitted in birth. And leprosy also has a transmission from person to person that we don't quite understand yet, even though it's an ancient disease. But what I will say is that in mothers that are infected with this, it affects their immune system. Mm-hmm. And so what we do know is that mothers that are infected with these infections actually have an effect on the baby's ability to respond to vaccines, to be able to fight off disease, and decreases their nutritional status so that they are more susceptible to illness and malnutrition in their lives. So the negative effects of the disease are transmitted even if the disease itself is not.
Okay. That's an interesting point to know. Now, earlier this month, guinea worm disease was reported to have been eliminated in Mali. Where do we stand in the global elimination of the disease?
Guinea worm. So it's very exciting because, you know, guinea worm for me is one of the most interesting ones because I think there are a lot of myths in global health. And part of the myth is that we can't reach people. And guinea worm is a key example of the fact that we can, especially if we engage communities, reach people and make things happen. Because guinea worm happens in the hardest to reach parts of the entire world. Mm. And we are doing very well. We have 25 cases last year in 2016 in three remaining countries, South Sudan, Ethiopia, and Chad. Mm-hmm. But these remaining places are very, very challenging. They're frequently areas with that are in strife. So we really rely on the communities to be part of the surveillance, to be able to find those patients, identify them, and ensure that the transmission does not continue. The success of no cases for a year in Mali is very exciting, but we have to continue to watch for the next 2 years to make sure that we haven't missed anything. And we have a challenge in Chad of really understanding the transmission there because that seems to be the place where we have sustained transmission that also is looking at a transmission in dogs. And so how do we actually stop that there? That'll be, I think, our main remaining challenge in the guinea worm fight to eradication.
So it sounds like a lot of hope with guinea worm.
Well, I'm very hopeful.
Okay. All right. So now, when we look at the prevention, I know I mentioned prevention earlier, on the vaccine front, can you give us an update in terms of where we stand with perhaps upcoming vaccines or the one that we have? Are they efficient enough?
Mm-hmm. So in the NTD space itself, we don't have vaccines are not a big part of the therapeutic options that we have. Mm-hmm. Parasite vaccines have not really been developed. We have one for malaria, which is only partially effective. So that's a challenge. Mostly we work with drug therapies and environmental change and vector control as our main tools. Now, the exception, if you look at the WHO list for the NTDs, it includes dengue. And so dengue does have a licensed vaccine that's available for it. But again, dengue is a very complicated virus transmitted by mosquitoes. And so the vaccine is only partially effective. Okay. And so it's part of the solution, but not the entire solution.
Okay, Dr. Jacobson, we have to leave it there unless you have a quick word in 5 seconds before we wrap.
Well, I just want to thank you for giving some attention to the NTDs because I do think that there's things that we can achieve together, but it's not over. There's a lot more that needs to be done, and everyone can make a difference when it costs 50 cents per person to treat them for a year.
Thank you so much. That was Dr. Julie Jacobson, counselor with the American Society of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene. I'm your host, Lynor Mudu in Washington, with producer Kwame Ofori and Heidi Fitzpatrick with the news, and we thank our engineer. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.